Good morning. You know, welcome to the second week of our three-week mini-series called Rise Above. And there are times when we all face challenges, right? From negative desires, attitudes, and behaviors that, you know, hold us back and keep us from reaching, you know, our highest potential. You know, God wants to move us to new levels, greater fulfillment and happiness. But these inclinations, you know, can rob us of the joy and freedom, hold us back, you know, from being the best selves, our best selves. And in this series, we are looking, you know, at how to rise above these obstacles. And last week, we talked about rising above greed. And this morning, I want to talk to you about rising above anger. And we all face situations, you know, that make us angry. Other people hurt us, you know, they act unfairly, do things that are inconsiderate and selfish. You know, coworkers, you know, take credit for our hard work, you know, make you look bad in front of the boss. They don't respect your authority. They go above your head and try to get what they want. And people, you know, you thought were your friends, you know, spread lies about you, distort the truth, and, you know, misrepresent the facts to make themselves look better. You know, a family member leaves you out. You know, someone cuts you off in traffic, drives recklessly. There's no shortage, you know, of things in your everyday existence and mine, you know, that can make us agitated, upset, and, you know, boil over with anger. You know, and some people naturally are naturally hot-tempered, and they have short fuses, get upset over small injustices. The problem is anger is usually self-destructive. You know, it doesn't go anywhere except, you know, deep into your spirit, slowly turning you into, you know, a resentful, negative, rude, irritable, you know, grouchy person that no one wants to be around. And getting angry over something, you know, especially if it's minor, can ruin your whole day, upset your plans, keep you from being your best, and you can't stop, you know, the angry feelings from coming. But if you want to live better, feel, you know, more at peace, what you have to do is rise higher.
Hey everybody, I'm away this weekend, and I want to thank Father Andrew for delivering the homily and celebrating the masses. But there's a couple of stories in the homily I wanted to tell you about. My dad, you know, he could be a hothead sometimes. He'd get upset if someone in the family moved something and he didn't know about it, like the pens in his office drawer. I think my mom sometimes would intentionally swipe his pens just to set him off. It happened so often. In our neighborhood, when I was growing up, there was a one-way bridge that ran over the Chattahoochee River near our house. A lot of people would use that bridge to get from their homes in the suburbs to their offices in downtown Atlanta. The unspoken rule was that you would take turns crossing the bridge from the opposite direction because it was a one-way bridge. One car would go from one side, then the other car would drive onto the bridge from the other side, and so on. Everyone understood this rule. It was common practice. One day, we were on our way to do something fun in the city. My mom, my dad, my older brother, and me. There was a line on both sides waiting to cross the bridge. My dad waited patiently, and when it was his turn, he started to go. But a car on the other side broke the rule, followed the car in front of him instead of waiting. My dad became enraged. He got so angry. When the car reached our side of the bridge, my father rolled down his window, shook his finger at the driver, and shouted, "It was not your turn!" The man in the other car just smiled, waved, and kept going. He wasn't upset at all, but it ruined my father's entire day. He complained about it all afternoon. What he should have done was rise above the anger.
You know, this is what David did in the first reading this morning. You know, Saul was the first king of Israel, and during a battle with the Philistines, David came to bring lunch to his brothers, and they were on the front line, and the Philistines proposed a duel between each side's strongest warrior, you know, as a way of resolving the fight. And, you know, a giant named Goliath came forward, and he was enormous, battle-tested, a professional warrior. And then David volunteered to fight Goliath and took him down with, you know, just a slingshot. And after that, David was praised by everyone. And back home, all the women sang this song: Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And, you know, David didn't do anything wrong. He didn't gloat about his victory or try to outdo Saul to make him look bad. But Scripture says Saul became very angry and resentful, and an evil spirit came over him, and he raged in his house. And twice he threw a spear at David's head and missed, and David didn't try to, you know, get back to Saul. He just rose above it. Then Saul told David he would give him his daughter in marriage if he were able to kill 100 Philistines by himself. And Saul thought, you know, for sure David would not survive, but he came back having slaughtered 200 Philistines. And from that day on, Saul became David's sworn enemy. And David became a fugitive. He fled to a place called the Desert of Ziph with a small band of men. But Saul hunted David down wherever he went. He was on the run for, you know, almost 10 years. At one point, David got the upper hand. He found out where Saul and his soldiers were sleeping and snuck into the camp late one night, and it would have been very busy or very easy for David to have killed Saul right there and then and to eliminate the enemy. And most people would have taken that opportunity, and if anyone had the right to be angry, it was David. You know, he had been, you know, treated unfairly. I mean, here, chased down for years, forced to live, you know, or leave the comfort of his home and live under harsh conditions, always having to look, you know, over his shoulder. And his top soldier, you know, Abishai, told David he could take care of the job with one thrust of the spear, and he would not need a second try. But David said to Abishai, he says, "Do not harm him, for who can lay hands on the Lord's anointed and remain unpunished?" You know, instead, they took Saul's spear and water jug and went across the valley to the, you know, to the opposite slope. They shouted and woke up Saul and his men, told them David could have killed them but would not harm Saul. And as hard as that may have seemed, you know, David did the right thing. He rose above his anger. You know, the eagle is an amazing creature. It has a wingspan of over 6 feet. I'm 6'2", so if I was to lay down, that's how, you know, his wingspan. And, you know, it can fly at a speed of about 100 miles an hour, and it can spot prey from miles away. And, you know, eagles can fly at very high altitudes, higher than just about any other bird. And eagles, you know, have been spotted, you know, at 20,000 feet in the air. And what's interesting is that the crow is a natural pest to an eagle. Although the eagle is bigger and stronger, you know, the crow is more agile. It can turn quicker, it can maneuver faster. And sometimes to annoy the eagle, the crow will sit on the eagle's back as it flies. And, you know, the crow will peck at the eagle's head and neck, trying to, you know, give it a hard time, force the eagle to move out of the crow's territory. But when the eagle has had enough, it doesn't waste time confronting the annoying behavior. Instead of fighting the crow, the eagle just flies higher, and it goes where the crow cannot. The higher the eagle flies, the more difficult it is for the crow to breathe. And eventually there is not enough oxygen. And what happens? The crow falls off, and it can't handle that high of an altitude. And there will always be crows in our life. You know, you can find them everywhere, at work, in your family, you know, among your neighbors, maybe sitting right next to you, you know. The crows love to annoy you. And, you know, they get a big thrill out of getting on your nerves, making you upset, throwing off your game, causing you to compromise your standards. And, you know, they would like nothing more than to push your buttons, make you lose control, bring you down to their level, watch you get angry and upset and lose your composure. Hey, don't fall into that trap. Don't take the bait. Instead of getting drawn into conflict, trying to get revenge, you know, showing them what's what, telling them a thing or two, or, you know, giving them a taste of, you know, their own medicine, just fly higher. And don't waste your time. It's a distraction. Go where the crows can't go and rise above the anger. And this is what Jesus was teaching his disciples in the gospel reading today. The standard practice back then was to love your friends and family, but not your adversaries. Get even with those who hurt you. Remember, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Most people lived by something called the silver rule, which said, do to no one what you yourself hate. But Jesus wanted his followers to fly higher. What does he say? Love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you. You know, don't retaliate against the crows trying to irritate you and make you angry. Don't stoop to their level. There's no honor in that. Instead, live by the golden rule. Do to others what you would have them do to you. Jesus wants us to rise above the conflict, rise above the pettiness, rise above the judgment, the backbiting, and the critical comments. He wants us to soar towards the heavens and be merciful and forgiving like the Most High God. And, you know, when you pay people back with the same negativity, irritability, and unkindness that they measure out to you, you're flying with the crows, not the eagles, brothers and sisters. But when you rise above, take wing, climb higher, God will reward you. Remember, for the measure with which you measure will in return be measured out to you. This is what Jesus says.
Okay, it's me again. Here's the second story. A friend of mine was a career naval officer, and over the years, he did well and worked his way up to become the second in command of a nuclear aircraft carrier. The captain of the ship was, to put it mildly, a difficult person. He delighted in tormenting his subordinates, was unaware of, unconcerned with how his words and actions hurt others. He would say things like, "When I want your opinion, I'll give it to you." Or, "What good is power if I can't abuse it?" He referred to himself as the king. In his eyes, everyone else on the ship, all 6,500 of them, well, they were the little people. He was callous and uncaring. Everyone was afraid of him and tried to avoid him like the plague. As the executive officer of the ship, my friend did what he could to encourage and motivate the crew, give them the tools they needed to succeed, and soften the blow of the captain's insensitive comments and actions. Late one night, they were on the bridge together. My friend asked the captain an important question. He needed clarification on an order. True to form, the captain said, "No problem, but first I want you to answer a question for me. What is the third term of the Navier-Stokes equation for hypersonic flow?" The captain had a PhD in aerospace engineering. He already knew the answer, and he also knew that my friend did not. He asked the question just to humiliate him, embarrass him, and ridicule him. But my friend took the high road, stayed silent, didn't take the bait, because he understood this principle: the Lord himself will fight for you. You have only to keep still. Over the years, my friend continued to rise through the ranks. He was eventually awarded the highest rank in the Navy, a 4-star admiral. While that captain never received another promotion, he retired without having achieved his dream of becoming admiral himself. That's because he was a crow. He could never fly that high. But my friend, he's an eagle. He knew how to rise above.
You know, it's easy to get mad at the crows, tell them off, give them a piece of your mind, you know, fight fire with fire. It's tempting to get upset, you know, make a scene, you know, show who's the boss. You know, it's much harder to ignore it, to fly higher and act an eagle, and it takes courage to be an eagle. You know, don't let the crows pull you down to their level. You know, don't let them distract you, you know, from your destiny. And you're an eagle. You were made for, you know, high altitudes, you know, lofty purposes and noble pursuits. You know, God has great opportunities in store for you. If you want to reach new levels of opportunity, you know, scale, you know, new heights in your achievement, reach a new pinnacle of personal peace and fulfillment in your life, you have to be willing to fly higher, climb to higher elevations, stay above the conflict, and rise above, of course, the anger.